It's a real familiar passage. We've read this over and over, but it talks about the last days and the way things are going to be and the way things are now. And we'll just read a few verses here and talk about what I want to talk to you about just for a few minutes. I thank the Lord for this church, and I thank God for the truth and for the people that go to this church that desire the truth. And a lot of churches don't want the truth. I'm thankful for a flock of sheep that are hungry for the truth. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I just preached on this about a week ago about fables. And he said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he goes on to talk about, being at the end of his ministry. What I want to talk about tonight for a few minutes is biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy. The Bible said in Psalm 119, 130, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, talks about God and his word and man. And it said in verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Amen? And I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter 1. I want to show you another verse. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Look with me in Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here's where you get understanding and knowledge. It's from the Bible. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Real knowledge comes from the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Back up just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. Or verse number 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And it goes on to say that we compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So we learn, we get knowledge through the Spirit of God and the Bible. The man who does not read has no advantage of the man who cannot read. That was spoken by Mark Twain. And if a man that reads has knowledge over a man that can't read, then common sense tells you that a man or a woman that reads the Bible and gains not biblical knowledge has advantage over people that don't read the Bible. Common sense, right? And we have a problem in America, in our churches, of biblical illiteracy. U.S. News and World Report pointed out a few years ago, more than 3/4 of Americans call the nation's religious diversity a source of strength. Fewer than 1/3 think it makes it harder to keep the country united. Now listen to that. Meanwhile, more than 3 in 4 Americans believe all religions have at least some element of truth, even though few say they know much about religions other than their own. Everybody ought to know a little bit about other religions. You ought to know a little bit about what the other guy believes. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Amen? That's right. And nearly 70% think spiritual experiences are the most important part of religion. If one's religion is more about individual identity than doctrine or creed, it's a lot easier to be tolerant. says Egan Mayer, a sociologist at the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. Gallup says that the high degree of religious tolerance reflects, in part, not only a lack of knowledge of other religions, but an ignorance of one's own faith. In some polls, he says, you have Christians saying, yes, Jesus is the only way, and also, yes, there are many paths to God. That's what many Christians say. It can't be both ways. That's what Christians say. So that tells you Christians don't even know what they believe. Amen? How bad is it? Researchers at the Gallup, George Gallup and Jim Castella put the problem squarely. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. How bad is it? They say it's worse than you can imagine. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Fewer than half can name the four Gospels. Many Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. According to data from the Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. No wonder people break the Ten Commandments all the time. They don't even know what they are. One woman told another woman, she said, won't you come to church with me? She said, I can't. She said, I think I've already broke all seven commandments. Amen? The bottom line is America is biblically illiterate. According to 82% of Americans, God helps those who help themselves. They think that's in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. People believe that the verse, cleanliness is next to godliness, is in the Bible. That's not in the Bible either. I've heard all them old sayings. None of that's in the Bible. Amen? A lot of that stuff sounds good. They think the Bible teaches the most important purpose in life is taking care of one's family. That's not in the Bible. It is important to take care of your family, but possums do that. Squirrels do it. Skunks do it. Dogs do it. Animals do that. That's just a normal instinct you should do. Amen? Some of the statistics are enough to perplex even those aware of the problem. A Barna poll indicated that, listen to this, at least 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. This came from a poll. This is real stuff, people. I ain't making this up. Another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that 50% thought Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. That's pathetic. A considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. And that's the trouble we're in America. Now, I heard about this story. Now, you'll get a kick out of this. Heard about this story one time where this church was interviewing for a pastor, and this preacher went to candidate for this Baptist church. And they brought him in, and the pulpit committee brought him in, and some churches do it this way. They have the preacher come in and preach or interview just for, give a little 10-minute, 15-minute sermonette, you know, for the pulpit committee, just the committee and their wives only, and maybe 10 or 15 people, and then they present him to the church. Well, the preacher came in, they asked him a few questions and asked him about his family and asked him about his background, and they said, well, tell us about your biblical knowledge and background. So he got up, and they gave him this little sermonette, and so he said, once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and the thorns grew up and choked the man, and he went on and met the queen of Sheba, and she gave that man, sir, 1,000 talents of silver and 100 changes of raiment, and he got in his chariot and drove furiously, and he was driving along under a big juniper tree, and his hair got caught in a limb and left him hanging there, and he hung there for 7 years. The ravens brought him 5 loaves and 2 fishes to eat and water to drink. And one night while he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he fell on stony ground. And it began to rain and rained 40 days and 40 nights. And he met a man named Zacchaeus who hid him out in a cave. After 40 years of famine, he went on and met a man who said, come in and take supper with me. But he said, I cannot, for I must go and dip myself in the River Jordan 70 times 7. And the man said, come and have supper with me. He said, I cannot come in, for I have married a wife, and behold, she is tender-eyed, and I must marry her sister also. And the man went out into the highways and hedges and compelled him to come in. He then came to Mount Carmel and saw Queen Jezebel sitting high and lifted up in a window on the wall. When she saw him, she laughed, and he said, go up, thou bald-headed prophet. And he said, And he said, who is on the Lord's side? And there appeared unto him a bear in a lion. And they say, he said, throw her down, boys. And they threw her down out of that window. And he said, throw her down again. And they throwed her down again. And he said, fling her down again, boys. And they flung her down 70 times 7. And the fragments which they gathered up together was 12 basketfuls. And I say unto you, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And when that man got through preaching that sermon, they was all sitting there with their eyes bugged out. He went and sat down, and they began to whisper, and they said, he's too much preacher for us. He knows so much Bible, we'll never be able to keep up with him. He had it all mixed up, and they was dumber than he was. Amen. Amen. Like the Sunday school teacher said, boys and girls said, who tore down the walls of Jericho? And the little boy, Johnny, said, I didn't do it. And so the teacher, she was so disturbed that the little boy didn't know more about the Bible, she went and told the preacher. So the preacher called the deacons together and told them the whole story. He said, teacher asked the kids, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And little Johnny Simpson said, he jumped up and hollered, I didn't do it. And said, I want y'all to get to the bottom of this. This just beats all I've ever heard. What he meant was, these kids know nothing about the Bible. And so the deacons, they had a meeting, and they came back to him Sunday night, and they said, preacher, we had a meeting, and we talked about it, and we had another meeting this evening, and we talked, and we know Johnny's family, and they've come to hear his whole life. And if Johnny said he didn't do it, we believe him. That's about where we're at nowadays, people. Churches know, people go to church their whole lives and know nothing about the Bible. And you ask them what they believe, and they'll say, well, I believe so and so, and I believe this and that, and I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, blah, blah, blah. But what do you base that on? Do you base it on what the preacher said or what the song service meant? Or do you open your Bible and say, right here is what I believe it on? Over here in the book of Matthew chapter 27, the Bible said he went to the cross. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that he rose from the dead according to the gospel, according to the scripture, and he rose from the dead, died for my sin. You got to believe it because what the scripture said. Amen? Let me give you a few things real quick, and I'll let you go. First of all, I want to say the cause of biblical illiteracy. The cause of biblical illiteracy is worldliness, apathy, and apostasy. We live in a self-centered generation who knew not the Lord. In Judges 2:10, it said, and also that generation who gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. We're living in a day and age now where this generation does not know the Lord. They know nothing of him. They don't remember the old days. I remember when I was growing up, listen to me now, I remember when I was growing up, I'm 56, I'll be 57 here in a couple months. Anybody wants to buy me a birthday present? It's in July. Amen? In case anybody forgot. I'm just kidding. But I remember when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, every president of the United States of America, they'd have Dr. Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham, come to the White House and have breakfast. They'd have a prayer breakfast. Reverend Billy Graham was on in and out of the White House all the time. He was in Congress, and there'd be a preacher, a man of God, would come in and out of the White House often. It was a regular thing. Now you don't see a president, you don't see a preacher rubbing elbows with the president. Listen, Billy Graham rode with the press secretary, and he rode with John F. Kennedy and with Nixon and all Lyndon Johnson and all those presidents, and with Reagan and all those presidents. But brother, listen, from George Bush and with Barack Obama. Barack Obama ain't have no reverend. Nobody will hold a Bible in his hand because Obama has already admitted he's a Muslim. He's admitted it openly. He don't want a preacher in the White House. He don't want a man of God nowhere near him. Neither does Congress or Senate. Brother, listen, they'll all holler at their Christians just to get your vote. Brother, they're a bunch of liars. And listen, if they are sold out Bible believing Christians, this nation will not vote them in. Hey, brother, I believe we're too far gone. I hate to say it, and I believe we're headed for a female president. I believe this liberal crowd has done got control, and I believe we're headed downhill from here. But I want to tell you, brother, the cause of biblical literacy, this Generation Z, the boomlets, they call them, are in control. And brother, this is a generation that knows nothing of God. They know nothing of the touch of God. They know nothing of the move of God. They've never seen God move in anybody's life. They've never seen churches that's really on fire for God. They've never heard an old-fashioned Bible preached. preaching, leather, long, old-time, Holy Ghost-filled Bible preacher get up and preach, rire back and skin to hide off people like they used to back in the old days. Brother, those days are gone. I'm telling you, brother, they want somebody to tell a fable and a fairy tale and make them feel good and excite them. But, brother, that's what we need. We need some old-time religion in this day we're living in. Brother, people know nothing about the Word of God. Illiteracy. There's a church in Ohio not long ago recently announced that homosexuality is a gift. It's not a sin, it's a gift. Now, the God of this Bible said it's abomination. It's abomination. I'm telling you, the churches are not only standing against the world, they're standing with the world. Its effects on individuals. Listen to me now. The Bible said Bible illiteracy. Hosea said, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge in the God of the land. Everybody nowadays, if you want to go to school, brother, you can go to college, you can get all the head knowledge you want, but we're talking about Bible knowledge, knowledge of a sovereign, holy, righteous God. Brother, it's right here in the pages of the Bible. If you want to read it, you can get it, brother. I mean, listen, I mean, back in the old days, used to, in America, not everybody had a Bible, but brother, now everybody's got four or five Bibles that are laying around in the cars. I mean, I've got 15 or 20 in my office back there. I mean, I'll give them away if anybody wants them. You can have them, brother. I mean, all over America, people's got Bibles. The problem is they don't read them. He said, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Strive with the priest. Brother, listen, nobody wants to hear not one word what a preacher has to say in this day and hour. A preacher is the last person on earth that anybody wants to hear. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophets also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Brother, I want to tell you something. Judgment's coming to America because, listen, the Bible said, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I sit and watch the news when all this stuff's going on, all this craziness, and I can't believe. I'll say this as gracefully as I can and tactfully. I ain't got no tact. Y'all know I don't. I can't believe how moronic and idiotic people are. And you watch the news reports and the talking heads. You can go from CNN to headline news to MSNBC, Fox News, all of them. None of them will say this. Folks, if we don't repent, we're self-destructing. It's happening right in front of us. If we don't repent, we're going to blow apart. Nobody says it. All of them say, well, we need more social reform, we need more money, we need less Democrats, we need more Republicans, we need more of this, more of that, more of this. We need more of God's what we need. The Bible said, Amos 8:11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. You may tell you something, people, listen to me now. Listen, this is hard to believe. There used to be a day when preachers preached like I'm preaching right now, and people would get in horse-drawn wagons in 90, 95, 100-degree weather, and riding them wagons out in the prairie, and they'd ride from here to Claxton or Reedsville, or maybe all the way to Macon in a wagon, just to hear a man get up on a barrel or up on a stump or up on his wooden platform and preach his heart out. People would ride for 2 and 3 hours in a wagon to hear a man get up and preach how good God is. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. Oh, he redeemed fallen man. Hey, he redeemed us from sin. Oh, I want to tell you, brother, now people can care less. Brother, you can offer it to them free of charge. If I go down here at Walmart and get on the street and start preaching, they'd call the police on me so fast it'd make your head swim. We went down here on the street corner a couple of years ago and started preaching. We went down there 10 minutes. Two police cars showed up. And brother, they pulled over, and I said, look here, dude, we ain't hurting nobody, and we ain't breaking the law. He said, just be careful. He knew we was exercising our First Amendment right, and we wasn't doing nothing wrong. That goes to show you the mentality of people. But, brother, I want to tell you, we know we can go do something else, worldly and carnal, and everybody will celebrate it and tie ribbons all over town. I want to tell you something, brother. That's because the lack of knowledge, brother, is destroying America. Ignorance. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. No true joy, no peace. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. For they are in the rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 119, 111. Verse number 165 said, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Its effect on churches. Churches are languishing for lack of teachers. And lack of spiritual things. He said that Hebrews 5:12 said, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which will be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. You know what he's saying? You have need of teachers. You ought to be teaching. There's people sitting around in churches have been saved for 15, 20, 25 years. And the preacher's constantly having to teach them and teach them. Preacher's having to do all the work. Two or three people teaching in the church, and other people sitting there just soaking it up. And they ought to be teaching. But they're still on the milk for the lack of knowledge. They won't pick up that blessed book and feed themselves. Yeah. Pick it up and read it. Read it. Soak it up. Absorb it. You ought to be teaching. That's right. You know why two or three people do everything? Well, so-and-so, they do all the work because nobody else will do it. Because some people just belly up to the bar and just eat and eat and won't do nothing else. That's right. Its effects on our communities, our morals are skewed. And the Bible said in Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and to put darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. People don't know the difference. They don't know good for bad. Churches take a stand against homosexuality and abortion and things like that, and people will judge you, get mad at you, and cuss you out. People got mad at us for putting something on our sign against the sodomites. Christian people, church people in this town got mad at us. Church people. All I'm doing is quoting what he said. You hear what I'm saying? I didn't quote nothing that Brother Ronnie said. I didn't make up nothing. It ain't nothing to my opinion. I'm talking about what the blessed old book said. Y'all ought to be more tolerant. Why don't you be more tolerant? Why don't you be more tolerant of what God said? Be more tolerant of what God said. Well, that ain't no different than any other sin. Yeah, it is too. Sure it is. If somebody spit on your shoes, that's wrong, ain't it? Well, if he took your daughter, kidnapped her, murdered her, which is worse? There's a difference in sins. If somebody threw a rock through that window, that'd be a crime, wouldn't it? What if I just burnt the whole church down? It's two different crimes. There's a difference in a misdemeanor and a felony. There's a difference in manslaughter and capital murder. Oh yeah, go to a judge and ask him for his one's different from the other. Oh yeah, there's a difference. Don't let nobody sell you that bill of goods. I've heard that my whole life. That's how people say, well, it's not wrong to drink as long as you don't get drunk. Tell your little girl that once you want to have sex with a boyfriend. Well, you can do it just one time, just don't do it a whole bunch. That don't fly, does it? You can gamble a little bit as long as you don't gamble over $2. No, it makes sense, man. You can drink as long as you don't get drunk. You can sin as long as you don't do a bunch of it. You can smoke dope just as long as you smoke one joint. You believe anybody would be that dumb? Drink is not a sin as long as you don't get drunk. Amen. Cussing is not a sin as long as you just do a little bit of it. Just a little bit of cussing. See how moronic that is, how stupid that sounds. It's not wrong to drink. You better look in your Bible and see what the Bible says about it before you start making them statements. You know, the only people that says that is the teetotalers. The drunkards. They're all drinking. Otis Campbell. That's right. Amen. That's from biblical illiteracy. A man that reads his Bible regularly don't believe that. Amen. Secondly, the cure for biblical literacy, daily devotional Bible reading in private. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he doth meditate day and night. You got to read your Bible. Listen, you can't just come to church every now and then, just drop in and just drive through like a drive-through at McDonald's and get you a sermonette, driving your Corvette, smoking a cigarette. Amen. Christianette and all that stuff. You got to have your daily Bible devotion. Cut the TV off, the cell phone, the computer. Cut your wife off. Cut everybody off. Read your Bible. Amen. Psalm 119:97, oh, how love I the law. It is my meditation all the day. You know what it'll do to you? It'll make you grow. It'll make you know some stuff. It'll make you... I ran across something just yesterday. Something I've read a kajillion times. You know how much a kajillion is? Read your Bible. You'll find out. It's over there. Yeah. It's over 2 Wilcox chapter 4. I just made that up. For Paul said over in the book of Corinthians, he said, do I need to come with a rod? In other words, what he was saying, that I'm going to come and I'm going to straighten you out. Do you want me to come with a rod? Do you want me to straighten you out? Do you want me to smack you around a little bit? Amen? People say, oh, that hard preaching, I just thought not necessary. Paul said, I'm going to straighten you out. I'll come with love, or I'll come as a father. Do you need me to come with a rod? You decide. It's up to you. We got tickled about that, reading it back there together. You know what that comes from? Reading your Bible every day. I ran across that and I'd never seen it before. He said, you may come with a rod. He was doing like this. He's jiggling his belt buckle. Y'all straighten that mess out before I get there if you want to, if you got some, or I'll do it. And they probably said, okay. Amen. The cure for Bible illiteracy. God gives parents, families, responsibility. I preached on it the other day. When Deuteronomy 6, we said, these words I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt diligently teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt walk with them, talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, every day of your life, when you live it, eat it, breathe it, everything you do. It's not just something you can just go to church once in a while. Your kids are just going to automatically be Christians and develop and turn into automatic cookie-cutter Christians and turn out and grow up and just be perfect Christians. It don't work like that. You know the way kids grow up, they'll love what you love. They will. It's funny. If you love to eat a certain thing, they'll love it because daddy loves it. And if you hate certain kinds of food, they'll hate it too. That's funny, ain't it? You see little kids, I pastored a church in South Carolina about 17 years ago, and they used to have an oyster roast all the time. The church was right there on the coast, and people would go shrimping all the time. They'd have an oyster roast all the time through the fall. I wasn't that crazy about them, but I'd eat shrimp and stuff. I'd eat a few. But them little bitty kids could just barely walk, and they'd crack them oysters open, slurp them down, put hot sauce. It was the funniest thing. And they'd waddle around in diapers, wouldn't they? Cracking oysters up, slurping them down, running down their chin. You know why they was doing that? They seen mom and daddy do it. Loved them. Loved them. Scraping them oysters out of there, right off the pot, dumping them out. That's why they eat shrimp and crawfish and all that stuff, because mom and daddy loved it. And if you'll love it, if you'll love this book, and you'll love God and love His Word, if you'll love Christian music, if you'll love coming to church, your kids will get hooked on it. But if you hate it and you don't read it and you don't like it and you can live without it and you just drop in once in a while hoping they'll just get a little dose of it enough to keep them out of trouble, it won't work. A woman told me one time, she said, preacher, I wish my kids would turn out like yours because you kept them close to you. I said, that ain't why they turned out good. Just because I kept them close to me and I didn't have them on a leash. We raised them in church. That's the trick. We raised them in church. That's all they've ever known. They've never known anything else. Can you believe anybody think that? It's because I walked around with them like this all the time, like a mother hen, watching them all the time. That's just not the key. Some of your kids turned out good because they were raised right here. Every time the doors was open, right here. Grace Baptist Church, that's all they've ever known. That's why they grew up the way they did. That's their job. Preachers fulfilling their duty to the Word. Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. We should be men of the book in this last dying hour. I say it all the time, and I don't have anybody in mind when I say this. I know we got some good men. We got some good preachers. We got a few good men left, and I don't ever imply that I'm the only one left. We still got some good preachers left, and we still got a few of them, still got a few good men around here that still preaches the book. But unfortunately, they're in the minority. There's not that many of us. Not that many of us. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. And it's unfortunate that we're in the minority. But we need people that will saturate themselves in this blessed book. Ronnie, come on up here. Get us a song. James 1:21 said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, however you say that word, of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We don't want to go on thinking that Sodom and Gomorrah lived on happily ever after and rode off into the sunset. You know what I'm saying? We want to be the kind of church and the kind of families that know when we hear something, it's got a unique sound that's not right. You know what I mean? I've always said this, it's not the size of the church, it's the quality of the church. And it's what the church hears and what the church learns. It's just like food. It's not the amount of food that you eat. It's the quality of the food. I'd rather have one plate of food that's real good food than have a whole buffet of just bad food. You know what I mean? Because that's what's going to nourish you and stick with you. We need to be serious about our biblical illiteracy, because what you don't know can hurt you. It's a crying shame that in a lot of our Baptist churches, not the reason I pick on Baptists, because that's what we are. It's a crying shame. I heard a preacher say this, and this guy, they got a Bible college in their church and everything. He started naming off subjects. He said, can anybody in here stand up and quote three verses? And he started naming subjects, and nobody in his church could stand up. And this guy's been preaching there for 35 years. He said, that proves my point. He said, even in this church, he said, we don't know the Bible. We ought to know that book if we don't know anything. It's amazing that we know who plays for what team and who got traded. And we know who's dancing with the stars and who the movie stars are. When it comes to the Bible, we just don't know much about it. Especially those of us who have been saved for a good many years. We ought to know something about it. We ought to know something about church history, shouldn't we? And we can do something about that. Especially these young people, smart as they are, they can absorb it, man. They can absorb it. And so let's do something about it as much as we possibly can, as much as it's humanly possible that's within us. Let's stand.